Man, you got a lot better background than me.
I mean, I got my bedroom. I look poor.
Yeah, that's where the magic happened.
Yeah.
It's a shame, of course. This is the night. It's not being streamed anyway, so the background doesn't matter.
Good.
What's up, Houdat Nation? Thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol podcast. I'm your host, Jason. That's right. Jeff is off frolicking in the waves in Hawaii for this week and next week. So lucky you. You get me as a host for 2 weeks in a row. Luckily, I'm not a 13 because that would be good for nobody. So wow. The Saints went into Seattle. Haven't won in Seattle in a long time. Without several players, you know, with the string bean wide receiver core and with Teddy B. And lo and behold, the team stepped up and got the win. Obviously not something a lot of fans expected, but look, when their back's against the wall, Peyton's going to prove how good of a coach he is, and you can kind of tell the team took it upon themselves to say, hey, look, for the last 13 years, we could say, well, we got Breeze. So if worst comes to worst, we got Breeze to bail us out. You know, they're not going to have that for the next 6 weeks. So. Just an incredible game. We've got a special guest tonight who was in attendance at the game. So put your seat belts on. Keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times and enjoy the show. Hey, I did it. I will go first. I will say I'm probably at a 2. I shouldn't have had anything to drink, but I was dead tired today, so I got a Red Bull. So, of course, what do you put in Red Bull? Vodka. But I'm going to try to keep it at a 2 since I am being the host tonight. But our special guest tonight is fellow 648er Mike, also known as Fuck the Falcons, on Twitter. Hey, Mike.
Hey, and my arms and legs are inside my earbuds.
Oh, good, I can see them.
I'm going to keep myself at around a 1 or a 2 tonight, too. I probably shouldn't drink, but I had an empty glass and some ice cut in it. And what do you add to that? Jameson, so.
Of course. What were you at? So, obviously, let's not waste any more time and get into the game recap. So you were at the game. So isn't your first game in Seattle, or is it?
Yes, this is the first one I attended.
Okay.
Last time I was supposed to go, I ended up not being able to go.
Okay. So I've never been to, you know, I've been to obviously road games. Road games are awesome. They're super fantastic when they win. But I want to hear all about your pregame, your game day. I want to hear all about it, especially in a place like fucking Seattle, where we've had a lot of shitty outcomes the last few years.
Yeah, well, I met up with Ed. You know, we went out there together. We hung out, me, Ed, Cassie. We went to the game together. We met up at a little bar.
Ed, bourbon and beer, correct?
Bourbon and beer, right.
Okay.
We met up before the game. We went to Jimmy's on First. We hung out there for a little while, and I mean, that place was probably half Saints fans, half Seahawks fans. I don't know if that's like the thing where people know to go there or whatever, but there was a lot of Saints fans in there, a couple of Houdat chants. And it was good. It almost felt like we was going to a home game for a little while. And, you know, we parted ways, whatever. We went to our seats, section 214, pretty good seats. They were covered, so we got to stay dry the whole time, surrounded by mostly season ticket people, you know. But just then the game started. It was a great game. It's a great experience. It's a great stadium. Fun to play there. It was good. I love that it was raining. I love that it was kind of cold. You know, it's like all the elements of playing in Seattle. And we got to have them all at one time, which normally sucks. But, you know, when you win, you love all that stuff.
It is always fun. Like, you know, when you go to a road game and it's an outdoor game and you're like, huh, it's just weird because we're so used to being in the dome all the time. Going to an outdoor game, it's like, man, this is kind of nice.
Right. And now, then you get home and you're like, wait, it's still 100 degrees.
Right. Yeah. Like in September in New Orleans, fuck no. Give me that air conditioning.
I wore a sweatshirt all day today. What'd you wear?
Right. Oh, God. I know. It's funny because, like, we went by the house on Sunday, and it's like, yeah, you know what? It really doesn't feel that bad outside. A front came through, and it was like 86.
Right, right. And I'm 86 here in 2 months.
Right. So you know, I watched the game. With everything going on with Breeze not being in, it's like, okay, maybe my guard's down a little bit. Maybe I'm not as – it's not as life and death. Like, hey, you know what? If we lose, we weren't expected to win. It's a tough place to play, even without a great quarterback. So I'm just kind of trying to relax. I say watch the game as relaxed as possible, but obviously 10 minutes in, it's like, well, that ain't fucking happening. But at the beginning of the game, I was kind of relaxing on the couch. We stopped him, and then we had that fucking punt return, and it's like, oh, you know? It's like, oh, okay. My pants went.
Yeah, I've been saying all week that, you know what, it's just a game, we're going to go, you know, Drew's not playing. Well, I said I was going to say that all week or whatever, but as the week went on, like, I'm tweeting Teddy Bridgewater every day this week, you know, I believe in you, Teddy, like he gives a shit what I got to say, you know, but I tweeted him every day this week, and I was so pumped, like, pregame, like I said, at Jimmy's with all the fans, like, it became, like, it was a regular game, it was do or die, life or death, like, I would have been mad today if we lost. All that. Like, I wanted to say it was no big deal, just going to a game, whatever. I don't really expect to win. But, damn it, I expected to win Monday or Sunday morning. When I woke up, I expected to win.
And that's the thing.
Like you said, like, after the punt return. Well, actually, believe it or not, I almost put this on the internet, too, but I didn't want to jinx this. But we stopped on our way in. We stopped at the little Shell station. We bought two beers, and the total was $5.04. And just the way the guy, like, the cashier, he was like, oh, two beers, that'll be $5.04. Just the way he said it, like, mm-hmm. I knew right then the Seahawks didn't stand a chance.
Wow. And that's one thing, too, because I knew you were at the game, but I feel like Bourbon and Beer, he was tweeting a lot during the game. I didn't see a lot of tweets from you during the game.
Until, no, I was having like, more fun, yeah, talking with the fans and stuff and,
yeah,
you know, just really enjoying the game. Like, you know, going to an away stadium, you take in the stadium. It's different than being in 648 where you know what's going to happen. You know what the announcer's going to do after every play or whatever. Between quarters, you know what's happening. Like in Seattle, I wanted to see all that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Plus, I kept messing with all the fans. Like after every big play or whatever, I kept asking them, like, when's the noise going to start?
You mess with fans? Nuh-uh. Come on.
Yeah. And, you know, I had to come home today to rewatch the game so I would know, like, exactly what happened instead of just, you know, what you remember from being drunk and taking it all in or whatever. But Tony Romo kept talking about how loud it was there, but it was not loud at all.
Okay.
I remember, like, two times I was like, wow, it's kind of loud. But mm-hmm. It was not.
But not like, I mean, look, like at the Houston game week one, like it was you know, one of the louder.
I've heard the Superdome way louder. I mean, granted, their team was losing from get-go, but right. I've heard it way louder in the Superdome than at any point it was there yesterday. Like, it didn't even come close yesterday.
Okay. Yeah, and I preached it before. Just going to a road game is just so much fun, being because anytime you see a Saints fan, high five, who dat, whatever.
When you win, it's fun.
Well,
going to a road game and you lose is the most miserable experience.
It's fun up until that point. Like, correct. It's fun, you know, but yeah, but when you lose, like when we went to, I've been to multiple losing games. The Tampa game in 07 was probably the worst, but like even when we went to Kansas City, like, oh, we had so much fucking fun in Kansas City and it was great up until like, God, we fucking lost. It's just like,
yeah. Yeah, we went to the Atlanta game where Colston fumbled and we lost in overtime. We went to that game and we lost. But up to that minute, like, we met a whole bunch of people from Twitter and we all hung out, like, people that never hung out before. And we had a blast. And we had so much fun that, like, 2 hours after the game, we didn't care. I mean, we cared, but we didn't care. And we went to having fun all over again. But, like, leaving that stadium, top five hardest things I've ever done.
Yeah. And definitely, like, when you win the stadium, when your team wins, there is really no – there really isn't a feeling like it. Like it's
no, there really isn't. It's so hard to like put into words too, because all the fans, like, they're all staring at you, and that who dat chant gets a little bit louder. And what can they say? Like, one guy brought up the 0-2 playoff record there. Like, who gives a shit? We're beating the brakes off you today.
Right.
With our backup quarterback and nobody at wide receiver.
Yeah, God, that's something too. So getting back to the game, you know, the punt return was big early, and you know, I felt like, and over the course of the game, like, we were so close to getting a fucking sack on Russell, and every time he would just fucking slip out of it.
He's Russell. That's what he does.
You know, but they held Carson to only about 60 yards rushing, and then when you had the, you know, when you had his fumble, Eli Apple forced the fumble, Bell gets it and brings it back, and at that point, you're like, okay, holy fuck, now this is really like, okay. You know, like, the punt return was one thing, like, God, the punt return's great, big advantage, on the road, but then when you get that play, it's like, okay, now shit's real. Now we're in a great fucking spot. Now you take the crowd out of the game. Now maybe they have to change up their game plan.
Yeah, I thought it was really interesting that that we won the toss and Sean elected to give them the ball first. You would think he would wanted the ball first, let Teddy have that 7-0 lead, you know, if everything goes right or whatever, instead of having to come in there with – like if the Seahawks would have went up first 7-0, it would have been super, super loud. And I guess maybe he was thinking about the second half or something, but it was really big, I think, for Teddy to come into the game and never be losing. Like he was already winning 7-0 for every set. And I thought that was huge for him, I thought. And then, yeah, after the defensive touchdown came in, and I mean, I don't think he played a bad game at all. I see a lot of people are hating on the game that he played, but I thought he played, you know, he did everything that was asked of him.
Right, right.
He didn't make it harder. We ran the ball a ton.
Yeah,
we only ran 50 plays, which I guess was like the least amount of plays we've ran in a win in like 10 years or something like that.
I mean, it is kind of crazy. Like, I mean, obviously stats can be misleading, especially all the garbage time at the end. But you look at the stats and like, goddamn, Seattle got 500 yards of offense. We had maybe 300 tops. Yeah, and really, the game.
Everybody's
really,
doing is just looking at the stats.
Yeah, and really,
stats, we lost.
Yeah,
if you watched the game, it was never even in question.
Yeah, and really, like the game wasn't even as close as the final score would indicate. Yeah. Just because, you know, when we got up, it's like we're gonna play prevent. They were gonna get their. You know, they're garbage time points.
Which worked for me because Lockett's my fantasy receiver.
So. I have Lockett as well. The problem is, so Adam and I, we have Lockett, but then we're going against Russell Wilson. That last fucking rushing touchdown, I was like, come on, you know.
Yeah, it got to the point where every time he threw the ball, I was like, hey, that's fantasy points. It was 27-7 the last time the score mattered, and that's what I care about. I don't care about what the defense did after that. My defense played phenomenal yesterday.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, like, and the, you know, at the end of the day, yes, they didn't get any sacks, but they did force them. You know, they had an effect. And look, Russell had a fucking great game fantasy wise. But look, we held their rushing game, which is big because they were a rushing team.
Yeah,
you know they were a rushing team coming in, and the Saints have yet to. As crazy as it sounds with the first game, because it seemed like fucking Carlos Hyde ran all over us. They haven't allowed a 100-yard rusher yet the first 3 weeks. So at least you can do that. Another big thing, especially early on in the game, when it took Teddy a little while to get going. And we'll get to Teddy because I remember what you were saying about Teddy, and I agree with you. But one of the big MVPs of the game, other than obviously the alien Kamara, was Thomas Morstead.
Yeah, I was gonna say Morstead. He had to be the player of the first half for sure.
I mean, it continues to be amazing. Like not only does he kick for distance, but he kicks it to the three and it shoots left out of bounds.
Yeah, how does he do that? He's so good.
It's fucking amazing. And
when I rewatched the game today, like I said, I made some notes in my phone, and that's like the first thing on there is how good Morstead is. He's easily the best punter in the league at this point.
I mean, he just completely flips the field for it's such an advantage to have a guy like that.
Yeah, and he didn't just do it once, he did it on back to back punts.
Yeah.
How did he do the next punt down to the four? Like
yeah, it's like what? What?
Yeah, I mean, that's incredible.
You know, and like, I don't know how many Pro Bowls he's made or all pros. I'm sure he hasn't made many, but I feel like, I'm sorry, there's not a better punter in the league than him. There just isn't.
No.
You know, and it's not like punters get a lot of attention or whatnot, but he.
If your punter's that good, it's because your offense sucks.
Yeah, yeah. So he was big, especially while it took time to get the offense going. I mean, Michael Thomas didn't get a target for a while, but getting back to Teddy, this has been a big topic of conversation, and I feel like some of it is, you know, it's like, oh, well, he held on to the ball too long, and he did say, look, he didn't turn the ball over, he threw two touchdowns, he did what we had to do, and the problem is you've been spoiled for watching Drew Brees for 13 years. Anything from that is going to be a letdown, no matter what.
But outside of that, like, if you just take the first half and put it in a vacuum where, you know, the Saints didn't do anything on offense at all. But every drive started with a penalty on holding or offensive pass interference. So he was looking at like first and 20, first and 25. And he didn't force nothing. He just played, you know, he let the defense play the game. He let that dictate it. Took what he can get. A lot of dump offs. A lot of dump offs. But look at the situation the offense put him in. And to not force anything and to not put us in a bad situation and let Morstead flip the field and let the defense play. Like, would we give up 7 first half points on the defense? And, you know, Teddy just played into that. And he had the one touchdown or whatever from the short drive or whatever. But, I mean, he didn't have to do much, so he didn't do much. I would assume that if the score was flipped, Teddy would have been throwing the ball 30 yards down the field. Mm-hmm. But why make him? It's raining. You're winning. Why make him?
Yeah,
it's
no, you're right.
25, like, throw the ball to Kamara. See what he can do. The guy was incredible.
Yeah.
He's incredible. Yeah. I think yesterday he became my favorite player on this team, which is incredible for me for him to pass Cam Jordan. Cam Jordan's been my favorite player for as long as he's been on our team. Like, me and you and very few of us have been Cam Jordan fans from the beginning. Mm-hmm. And everybody always called him almost Cam or whatever. But we were always a fan. Always. Could see what he could do, whatever. Yeah. And for Kamara to, like, surpass him yesterday, I think, that's a big deal.
It was.
I don't know. Now that I'm saying it all, I don't know. I think Cam Jordan's still my favorite.
Cam's – but, man, like, some of the plays have come out. Like, that one play where we were pinned, like, back inside our own five – We gave it to him. He goes to outside to the bunch of guys, and, like, there's nothing. All of a sudden, oh, here he is, and he gets the first down. Like, what?
My favorite non-Saint in the league is Bobby Wagner, and it's not even close. He's the best linebacker in the league, and it's not even close, to, like, for talent-wise. But Kamara made him look silly a couple times yesterday, a couple times.
It just got – you see the plays that Kamara makes, and it's like – you're just like – he is a fucking alien. Like, he just –
what Carol said about him today?
Yes.
He said, I knew he was good, but you got to see that guy in person. He's better than I thought.
Right? And you know, we sent text or whatever. I'm like, he is getting all the money next year, and he deserves – like, he deserves everything, especially considering we're paying him peanuts.
Right.
You know, he's getting paid.
I mean, he was the offense in the first half yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, he did everything Teddy asked of him. He handed it to him. He threw it to him. He gave him the screens. Like, that screen pass, he's not supposed to score on that play.
No.
19 yards, 29 yards, whatever it was. But he's not supposed to score in the play. He broke four or five tackles.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. Like, we had it set up good, and all the offensive linemen were there. They missed all their blocks.
Right. They missed every block, so he should have scored. But since they missed every block, he should have been tackled. And just – it was almost like a Madden glitch where he's supposed to score. All these guys fall down. They're like, ah, screw it. I'm screwing.
Right. It was crazy. So I am glad you brought up earlier about Teddy and the offensive. You know, the offensive line didn't do many favors because on a lot of those plays, like,
except
Teddy made.
Ramchek. You know, like, before we bash the offensive line, Ramchek is damn good.
He is, and look, it was just, you know, the opening couple of drives. They, you know, it was rough, but at the end of the game they were better. But on a lot of those plays, we had penalties, but, like, Teddy made the right read, and, like, we would have got the first down without the penalties. So
I watched the game after talking to people on Twitter today about how bad Teddy was, because several people told me that he was bad. And I'm like, listen, he was not good, but he was not bad. And that's a big bridge to cross.
Yes.
From good to bad. Like, I mean, there's a lot of gray area in there. And everybody told me he was bad. And I watched the game. He made one bad pass. It was on the right read. He made one bad read. And KJ Wright jumped the route and almost intercepted it. But he had – I think it was Hill. It might have been Ginn, but on the other side of the field, wide open, running a little flag route or whatever. He was wide open, and he made the wrong read on that play. Outside of that, I can't find a bad read that Teddy made. He didn't throw the ball down the field very far, but, again, he didn't have to.
Right.
But he did the right reads. He had open receivers or running backs mostly, but and he hit them, and he did the right thing. Like, 4 or 5 yards is 4 or 5 yards. If that had been handoffs when we got 5 yards every down, we'd have been praising the offensive line and Alvin Kamara today. Mm-hmm.
And especially, you know, when you get those two early, the special teams, the defensive touchdowns, and you take the lead, you know, you play the game that comes to you.
Especially when you're playing a team that you're not supposed to beat on the road, in the rain, when you haven't been home in a week. Like, I believed in Teddy all week, but there's just too many ands going into this game. Like, it was his first start in 3 years, and it was, you know, in the rain, and they had been on the West Coast all week. It's just too much stuff.
And it's in Seattle, where it's a hard place to play, and we struggled there, you know?
Right. If you go down, apparently it gets really loud.
I mean, yeah, look, you want him to throw it 30 yards down the field? What if he throws a pick, you know?
Right, exactly. Now you put the defense in a bad situation. He did none of that yesterday, none. Yeah. I sound like the referee from yesterday. My voice keeps cracking.
It's good. But, look, and that's the thing. Like, Teddy did what we had, you know, he did what we had to do. Just to, look, we won the fucking game in Seattle. I can't imagine, you know, Saints fans are trying to, like, pick things apart. It's like, we just won in Seattle with a backup quarterback. Like, fuck you.
You get a goddamn job before sundown, or we're shipping you off to military school with a goddamn Finkelstein shit kid. Son of a bitch.
The great game, the early lead, Teddy, you know, Teddy played well enough to win. And, man, like, the defense, you know, at the end of the day, it looks like they give up a shit ton of yards. But, you know, they had the early stop on fourth down, you know, when they stopped them, which was huge. And then later in the game, they had the other fourth down where – now, maybe this is because Pete Carroll was concussed, because that's one of the other MVPs from the game was Pete Carroll's play calling. We had fourth and a half a yard, and he throws a 30-yard pass.
Right.
Like, I mean, look, great. Believe me, I was fucking happy, but like, what?
Yeah, I don't know. What was he thinking there? That was crazy. Yeah, there was also the other fourth down stop between those two. They had three fourth down stops in that game, which was nuts for the Saints.
Jesus, God. Okay, God, I even forgot one.
Yeah.
But right, like the defensive line, now defensive line played really well, even though at the end of the day, it won't say any sacks, but man, like they were there. It's just, you know, Russ was Russ, man. Russ had a great game. Like,
yeah, and you know, I meant to say this earlier, but like we almost had sacks, and it made him scramble around and do the Russell, you know, thing that he does. But the secondary played well, that most of those plays didn't develop into anything. They were overthrows or underthrows or, you know, check downs, or Russell would run and maybe he got 2 or 3 yards a couple times. But I mean, he had a couple good ones too. I think he had like a 30-yard run and a 20-yard run or something like that. But outside of that, like most of those plays turned into nothing, the almost sacks.
Yeah, look, everybody, you know, say the rest of the team definitely fucking stepped up their game, you know. You know, we did it.
Yeah, I'm sure you heard DeMario Davis's pregame speech.
Yeah, God, I mean, and he's the perfect guy to have to do that. To like, if somebody else is going to do it, I'm glad he did. He has been fucking awesome since we
started. He is the new Cam Jordan. He is incredible, and nobody says it.
Yeah, I mean, he is.
I mean, Saints fans do, but like the national media.
I've never seen any article anywhere ever mention fucking DeMario Davis. Other than, oh, well, that was a pretty good signing they had. Like, maybe that's it.
Oh, he's not a Jet no more. That's what they say.
right? So, just an incredible game. And, of course, like, when you're at a road game and you win, it's just got to be, you know, I mean, I know the feeling. I know the feeling of losses. I know the feeling of wins. But it's awesome when you can win on the road, especially a place like fucking Seattle with the fucking 12s.
Yeah, I asked them when did Texas A&M change their colors, and they got a
So, all right, well, and I mean, there's some other things in the game we may miss. I mean, you know, Harris had the great return. He also had the muff, but you know, I mean, it sucks to have the turnover right there, and it really hurt us because man, we had all the momentum at that point. We could have taken the ball, scored a touchdown, and not that the game wasn't over, but that would have been like, okay, fucking finito, get out of here, all the fans leave.
But it's also another situation where when you look at the stats, it doesn't tell the whole game, because that's a whole other set of plays that the Seahawks ran where the Saints weren't running plays. You know, 14 of our points came without Teddy Bridgewater on the field, so we didn't run that many plays for him to even have phenomenal stats, even if we would have, you know, thrown the ball 30 yards downfield every play. He just wasn't on the field that much.
Yeah.
Plays, that's it. Russell had 50 pass attempts.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and the final thing I'll say, but which is a good thing, like, so now, you know, when Breeze gets hurt, you're like, okay, we got 6 games until the bye, you know, hope to God, can we go 500? You know, people just assume, oh, well, we'll lose to Seattle, lose to Dallas, and then we got a tough game in Chicago. Now that you win this game, that really changes.
Yeah,
really,
your expectations are at 5-1.
You know, yes. I mean, it changes the outlook, and now it changes the expectations. Like, well, fuck, if we can win in Seattle, like, fuck, we can beat Dallas. And I mean, God forbid, if we beat Dallas at home, now it's like, well, why can't we go 5-1 and be still in play? You know, it brings a lot more into play. Yeah, it just gotta feel myself getting excited, right? But this. You know, like this first win now changes the trajectory, or at least the perception for sure.
The expectations are out the roof now, for sure, 100%. Because I kept saying, like, listen, Teddy, give me 3-3, but the problem is that you're going to start 0-2. So your confidence is going to be low. But hey, give me 3-3, and you know, you're the perfect backup quarterback. But now 3-3 almost feels like a disappointment.
Yeah, yeah, considering some of the teams we get to play.
Right.
You know? Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So, all right. So we will move on. We actually, Jeff did send me a 3 tweets. So we'll do a quick look at him tweets. And He only somehow, I don't know how he's still on. He's fucking in Hawaii riding giant ass waves. So we got 3 tweets so far that I can see.
He just liked one of mine, so he's playing right now. Like, who knows what he's doing?
All right. So our first tweet is from Paul Perrette. He says, Teddy did fine, but with defense, special teams, and Kamara playing like that, I think we can even win with drunk Jason under center. You've heard Drunk Jason, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's like having Bobby Hebert back.
Oh God. That would be the big time drunk Jason against drunk Bobby. That would be something.
I know what I know.
Right. Yeah, you do. And I'm going to say it five times just so you know I know what I know. All right. Davis Douglas says, given the circumstances and environment, was this one of the greatest Saints wins?
I want to say yeah, only because we have this like this perception that Seattle's a rivalry with us, but we're not. So I'll say yeah, just because every time we play them, it's a big game. The playoff game, or it's a night game, or it's the first game when I drew. Like, it's always a big game when we play them. Always.
You're right. It's right. It's not It's not a regular season. It's a fucking playoff game. Everything fucking matters. We've been in there with Breeze. We've had losses. You know, ended the way the end to go in with a fucking backup quarterback where Pete Carroll was undefeated in September.
Undefeated.
Pete Carroll was undefeated in September there until we brought in Teddy.
Yeah.
Until we brought in Teddy. So, and then our last tweet that I'll get to this week, Aaron King says, "O ye of little faith, our D will keep us in games. The dead D is the best in the NFL." Now, I don't know about that, but they played very well. Who dat? Oh, and Terry B wasn't half bad either. Woo!
Hey, do you remember in the preseason on the podcast, you personally said that the defense would carry this team a couple games, and everybody laughed at you like you were stupid?
Yeah, you know who really laughed at me? Fucking Damon.
And now look where we are.
Yeah, right. No, that's – look, that I'm gonna fucking stand by it. Now, clearly I didn't anticipate this, but I said the defense was going to have to win us games. And the defense
playing like this against the run, they're going to win a lot of games for us.
The defense and special teams won us this game. And you know what? The refs didn't fuck us for once.
That one time in a row. They could have, too. They were given the chance.
I know. I mean, think about it. On the fumble recovery, you know, if they – like, they easily could have – because that was closer than the fucking play last week.
Yeah. That guy's down.
You know, he's easily down. Could have blown the fucking whistle and been like, yeah, we get the ball back, but there we are. But right. Thank God they let the fucking play happen like it should have, and we didn't get fucked for once.
Yeah.
So
one time through.
Right. All right. So now we will go into – I'm not going to call it I hate that. We're gonna go into a little bit of Saints news. There's not a lot. Just a couple of items. We got two players going IR. You know, this is since we recorded last week. Both Anzalone and Kirkwood go on IR. So and Jeff brought this up. Maybe in the crossover about at some point, and I poo-pooed him because I poo-poo a lot of things Jeff says because, you know, it's Jeff. But, you know, at some point, Anzalone on IR again, at some point, you know, is it worth it to keep him around if he can't ever get on the field? I mean, Anzalone is good when he's on the field, but fuck, this is another, like he, and Sean Payton said he had shoulder, like, this is his shoulder again. He ain't coming back this season. Now, the good thing is he's on a cheap rookie deal, so it's not a lot of, you know, there's not a lot of risk bringing him back next year. But
yeah, you bring him back next year, but outside of that, you just see what you got in Kiko Alonso because he's a good player. He's a good, solid linebacker. Yeah. You see what you got in that guy, and if he can outplay him, you know, then you keep him until, you know, Anzalone, hey, it was cool, you know, the memes were cool, but sorry, man, you can't stay healthy.
Yeah, sorry, you're that guy. You're that injured guy.
Right. And I want him to stay healthy because I was the guy that defended him when they drafted him. And everybody said he couldn't play at Florida. And I was like, listen, he had a couple injuries.
Mm-hmm. Hey, look, he's clearly talented. He's clearly talented. I mean, fuck, he's talented. He plays well when he is. Yeah, but
he is good.
You know, he's got a body made of fucking porcelain. So and then the other one is Kirkwood, which hurts us because, you know, in addition to Kirkwood going on IR, Tre'Quan Smith got banged up in the last game, so he didn't even play this week. So our receiving core is pretty, pretty, pretty thin. Yeah.
That actually is Drunk Jason playing wide receiver.
Oh, shit, yeah. So, yes, so Kirk was out. I mean, hopefully Smith comes back. So you're looking at Michael Thomas, Ted Ginn, Austin Carr, Smith, and we called up Lil Jordan.
Does it kind of surprise you that they haven't called Dez?
I mean,
with all these injuries?
Yeah, a little bit, but I mean, is he? I mean, his Achilles. Look, I mean, nowadays guys can come back from fucking Achilles. Fuck, even Nick Undertale tweeted, "Fucking Rankins could be back next week. Probably not, but he could." Like, that's still shocking to me.
Right.
But also, but Rankins is also 25, whereas Dez is 30. But I am kind of surprised we didn't at least say, hey man, how you feeling? And maybe they did. We just don't know.
Yeah, you're right. Maybe they did, and we just don't know about it. But I can't believe they didn't call him back when they got Austin Carr out there at wide receiver.
Right, right. Like, Austin Carr is our third for right now.
Right, which is, you know what, people kept talking about, why did we stop using Taysom last week? Do you realize that Taysom became the number three wide receiver last week against the Rams?
Yeah.
It's hard to play your second string quarterback whenever you're also your third string wide receiver.
Right, right. I mean, you're two injuries away from going JT Barrett. It's like, whoa.
Right. Everybody's so, like, enamored with Taysom.
Everybody's fucking enamored with Taysom, man.
Like, listen, he's not the third string quarterback now. Like, you gotta, like, curb your expectations with that.
Right. I mean, right. That's the thing. Like, we can't, like, as everybody's like, oh, yeah, it is kind of crazy how everybody for once Taysom. And, look, maybe one day, sure, maybe.
He's exciting.
Right.
But he's exciting because he's an element. He's not your quarterback.
Right. He can't quarterback an entire game. Like,
you're as old as me. Like, it was like whenever they wanted Forcade to play every down. Like, John Forcade was cool because he could throw the ball 1,000 yards, but he wasn't a very good quarterback.
Right. And like we talked about earlier, like Teddy did so many good things, and we're so spoiled with having Breeze for 13 years. And like, I remember, like, I got 20 years ago, I was excited for fucking Billy Joe Hobert. I was like, you know what?
That was 20 years ago. I was like, okay, we're exaggerating, but that was 20 years ago.
Right? And it's not like it's the 70s Saints where, like, we were just the dreg. Like, yes, we were bad, but, like, man, Billy Joe Hobert, like, if he stays healthy, we could win 10 games with Billy Joe Hobert. You know, that's where we were. And, you know, we've had so many years of this. I think people just forget, or just people just forget about it. Like, man. I was excited for Billy Joe Hobert.
We gotta be the only team in the history of the league to have two Billy Joes on the same team, right?
Yes, and now they're both fucking scratch golfers and win celebrity golf tournaments. Yeah. We had two fucking Billy Joes as quarterback.
At the same position.
At the same time.
Yeah.
Oh, fucking Ditka. So one other Saints question that I'll bring up before we move into Pick'ems. Are you worried at all about Marshawn Lattimore? I saw a stat came out today. He has given up the most yards out of any cornerback so far. Now, he being the number one, he's going to draw the number one guy. I mean, going up against Hopkins in the first week, look, Hopkins is great. I get it. But he's had a little issues.
Yeah, but like, let's look at the guys he's followed now. Hopkins, who's top three wide receiver in the league. Cooper Kupp, who's top 10 wide receiver in the league. Tyler Lockett.
Who played like it.
Probably a top 10 wide receiver in the league.
Damn.
Him and Russell Wilson have, like, I don't know if it's a record or whatever, and him and Russell Wilson have been the most efficient tandem over the last 3 years.
Hmm.
So, am I worried about him? No. Am I concerned? I'll give you that. Yeah.
Okay.
But look at the guys he's going against. I mean, it's not like he's going against our wide receiver core.
He has, but man, I felt like in the past, like he shut down Mike Evans. He shut down Julio. Now, granted.
Yeah, but also when he shut down Mike Evans, look at the yards Mike Evans got against him. You know, he shut him down. He's kept him out of the end zone mostly, but he also still give up a 65-yard play to him.
Yeah. Okay, and look, I'm not worried. Like, holy shit, the sky's falling. But it bears watching a little bit.
100%. Yeah, I'll give you that. I'm definitely intrigued by it. But he always sucks in the beginning of the season. I think he's just got a shit off-season program. My friend texted me the other day that it looks like he bulked up like 15 pounds or whatever this year. So maybe that's got him slowed down or something like that, but he'll come back into form. He's Marshawn. He'll be fine. Especially with the pass rush that they showed that we've had this year. He'll be fine.
Maybe he's just boycotting because I called him Marcus on the first show.
Yeah, I'm sure he listens.
Yeah, right? He's like, man, you hear this, brah? This motherfucker calls you Marcus repeatedly, not just once. Yeah. He kept saying, calling you Marcus. All right, so now we will move into Pick'ems.
It's time to play the game. Time to play the game. time to play the game. It's all about the game and how you play it. All about
So I don't have the totals for everybody. You know, Jeff is accumulating that. But last week, I went 3-2. Jeff went 2-3. I had Baltimore, Houston, and the Giants. Jeff had the Rams and Cincinnati. So after 2 weeks of play, I'm 5-5, and Jeff is 3-7. And I'm sure there are a lot of people out there with better records than us.
Because I have sent in no picks, and I'm therefore undefeated.
Oh, that's smart. Well, I mean, it's funny because, and I mentioned it last week. Week two, I got him. Week three, I got him. Week one, I had the games marked down, but I marked down NA/too drunk.
I'm interested to see how you guys went last week because, like, as soon as you guys, like, you know, whatever he picked the opposite, whatever.
Well,
and in
no.
his head, immediately it was going to be 5-0. Like, it was going to be the greatest split. So I'm interested to see how this.
Well, it's funny because as I start to accumulate them today, I was like, oh. Okay, I got Baltimore. Oh, good. He took the different team. I won. The second one, I got the win. He didn't. I was like, oh, okay, 2-0. And then the next two, fuck, we both had different, and he won. But then I got the last one. So, all right, so on to week four. And, man, there's not a lot of good games. So I tried to pick, you know, games that made you kind of think, made you have to try to make a decision. Because, I mean, there's a lot of games that maybe had some better teams. But, I mean, it's clear who everybody was going to pick. And I didn't want to put Atlanta in another one. Even. Got it. No,
God, those guys are terrible, huh?
Yes.
Jacoby Brissett, seriously?
Now look,
beat the brakes out of him.
Now remember, at the beginning of the season, I said, "Look, Brissett's not going to be that bad." But dude, that tweet you sent was fucking awesome.
Yeah, and that's what I was alluding to, I guess, is that like, he's pretty good, but you know, until the end of the year, he's the backup quarterback, and for them to talk shit at us all week about having to start a backup quarterback, and then for them to go get their doors kicked in by a backup quarterback.
Yeah, that was awesome.
You'll love to see it.
Of course. I don't want him to be so bad where they fire Quinn. Like, I want more Quinn. It's kind of like Mike Smith. Give me more.
Yeah. Exactly what I tweeted some Panthers fan today about Ron Rivera, because they want him fired. I'm like, no, please keep Mike Smith. I mean, Ron Rivera. He's the same guy.
Well, and we'll get to it in another game later, but with Cam, it's like, fuck, I don't want Cam injured. I want Cam playing.
Yeah. Let's heal that foot.
Right.
Idea.
So, all right. So on our slate of games, and this one's probably going to be the best one of the bunch. The Vikings sitting there at 2-1. Really, I mean, you know, Kirk Cousins has been average, but Dalvin Cook has been kind of amazing. They go to Chicago to play the Bears, who I haven't checked the score yet, but I know the Bears already have at least one defensive touchdown. Now, granted, they're playing the Redskins. But the Bears are probably going to win this game, so they'll be 2-1. Now, Mitch Trubisky still kind of sucks, which is a good thing since we have to go to Chicago in a few weeks. This game's in Chicago. Bears favored by 2.5. So the Bears defense is going to play really well against Minnesota. Minnesota going to try to establish Cook. You know, can Trubisky do enough against good teams? I think Trubisky can beat bad teams. Can he beat good teams?
What's the Vikings record?
Vikings,
the Bears record, I mean?
Vikings are 2-1. Assuming Chicago wins tonight, which they should, they'll be 2-1.
That's all you got to know. The Bears will have a winning record. Kirk Cousins doesn't beat teams with winning records.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, screw the points. He doesn't win.
Okay. God, that's probably right. You know what? Give me the Vikings. And also give me a fucking pen that works. How is that fucking possible? Fuck! All right.
The accountant doesn't have a working pen.
All right, so moving on to game two of the week, we got the Carolina Panthers coming off their first win of the season under Kyle Allen, who I think threw four touchdowns this week. Now, granted, they went against Arizona. They travel to Houston to play the Texans, who come off a win on the road against the Chargers. So, you know, and this is where, God, I wish Cam Newton was still the quarterback because I'd have a lot less faith in Carolina with him at QB than with Allen. But they are playing a better team this week. Houston is favored by 5 at home.
Hmm.
It does seem like a lot. But
it does seem like a lot, yeah.
But I am, God, am I really going to take? I'm taking Houston just because I want Carolina to lose. You know, like, I don't want them to get any momentum with Kyle Allen, because if Cam Newton's the quarterback, I'm not worried. If Kyle Allen's the quarterback, there's a little bit of something.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Okay. All right, our next game. This is a game of unbeatens, the New England Patriots, who play in the worst division of football, like I've said before. And yes, they're 3-0, but their 3-0 is against three shitty teams. They traveled to Buffalo to play in also 3-0 Buffalo Bills.
Mm-hmm.
The Bills Mafia is going to be insane this week. And that's also, you know, one road
probably
place.
Already to, jumping on tables.
That's, you know, I've talked about, you know, I want to try to make it to Nashville this year because that seems like a fun place. I'd love to go to a game in Buffalo just to experience that.
I want to go when it's snowing, though, and like 7 degrees and you hate your life.
Yeah, yeah, I'm with you. So this game is in Buffalo. Buffalo is getting 7 at home.
You got to take Buffalo, right?
I mean, New England's defense has actually been really good. But, you know, no Antonio Brown. Edelman got hurt.
Wait, what happened with Antonio Brown?
Oh. Oh, you haven't heard? Yeah. Which is why, yeah, it's all fucking crazy. I think he's got brain damage. Enough people are going to talk about Antonio Brown. But I mean, shit is crazy. He just threw away.
Like, that is weird.
I mean, he threw away $30 million. Then he threw away at least 10. He just threw it away. Like, fuck. Yeah. Give it to me. I'll take it. I'll take half.
I'm glad the Patriots cut him though, because I can't feel like those two stories are both false. You know, like the one girl actually did kind of seem like it was a little sketchy. But then when the second story comes out, yeah, I think my guy might be a rapist.
Yeah, right. It's like, all right, bro. Like, why did you do like? Like that's where he needed Kaboom. He needed somebody around him 24/7, just like, hey brah, just give me your phone, just do, go in your hot tub.
Yeah, quit just, jerking off on the girls.
Right, do whatever. Oh, skeet. All right. So look, New England's been playing great, but they're without him. Edelman got hurt. He had a chest injury, so he might be out. Josh Gordon got a little banged up, so maybe he's out. But, I mean, this is going to be probably the biggest home game in Buffalo in a long time. I mean, can they beat New England? I don't know. But, you know what? I'm going to take my chances and give me the points with Buffalo.
Yeah, I think Buffalo wins outright.
Wow.
I mean, New England's defense is good, but it's their back end that's good. And that's not what Buffalo attacks. They're going to attack the front. You know, I mean, New England's – their front seven's decent. They're not bad or whatever. But their back four is the good part of the defense.
Yeah.
And just – you know, I think the Bills can get them. I really think if not now, then when?
Yeah, you're right. And it'll be interesting to see. So the rookie Singletary was out this week, so they still have the ageless Frank Gore in there. We'll see if Singletary is healthy enough to play this week. But all right, we'll move on to our next game. The Jacksonville Minshews coming up there and win Thursday night. They're 1-2. Travel to an 0-3 Denver team. Again, there wasn't a lot of options this week, but I want to do a game that makes people think. Denver is 0-3. You know, they probably should have won the game with the late field goal last week. Yeah, you know, against the Bears. Lost to Green Bay this week. But this is just typical. Denver favored by three at home. So do you think Gardner Minshew could go to Denver and get a win? But, man, I tend not to think so. But where is, like, Denver's vaunted defense? Like, where have they been?
Exactly. So I guess it's time. If they're at home, it's against Minshew. Like,
do right. I mean, can you really?
Yeah, if not now, then they're done. It's time to start thinking about draft picks. If not,
so you know what? Give me the Minshew. I'm known to take Jacksonville when I shouldn't, and I'm going to take them again this week. All right, and now our shitty game of the week.
Here we go. Of shit car, I got a piece of shit car. That fucking pile of shit never gets me very far.
And actually, one of the teams isn't that shitty, but once again, they're decimated by injuries.
The Dolphins game.
Yeah, the Chargers. I mean, just because it's like Miami's getting 16 points to the Chargers. 16. Look, I mean, Miami's going to go winless. There's no way they win a game, right?
No way. The only team they might beat is the Jets, because that's only because they get two cracks.
Yeah, and I mean, look, the Chargers are definitely a much better team. It's just, you know, the other games, it's like there was a good team and a bad team. And yes, in here, there's really a good team and a bad team. It's the Chargers are 1-2. The Chargers have so many injuries. I mean, the Chargers will win this game. The question is, you know,
are they going to come?
Right, because I feel like Miami played a little frisky this week against Dallas until it got away from them in the end. So call me crazy.
Well, what do they have to lose? They suck.
Yeah, so call me crazy. Give me the points.
Yeah, but 16's a lot.
Yeah, but I mean,
where's the game at?
It's in Miami.
Yeah, take the points.
Wow. All right, that's it for Pick'ems. So all the listeners out there, text your Pick'ems to us, either Jeff or hopefully when Jeff gets back from the island, he'll like them. He said he texted me tonight. He is tracking last week, so he will have updated standings when he gets back, which won't be until after next week's show. So next week we're going to have I got to host again. We'll have another guest host. But then Jeff will be back.
Do you want me to tweet your phone number out since you told everybody to text the Pick'ems?
Oh, God. You can tweet my Twitter handle. That's fine. So, all right, and now we will move on to Saints preview. Big, big game Sunday night. And God, I hate night games now, especially since I'm still outside. I'm not in the house yet.
Your old is showing.
I mean, so is yours. I can see your fucking gray beard, asshole. And if I had a beard, it would be just as gray. That's why I shave mine.
but night games here at 4 o'clock, I love them.
Of course. It's just crazy how, my God, in 2005, 6, 7, 8, dude, light games, yes, give me a night game. You know, I'm all about it. Now it's like, fuck. It's just.
Yeah, and also because it makes the game bigger. It's not like Monday night big, but it's big, and it's the Cowboys, yeah. And it's the backup quarterback. And I just want Teddy to be able to play in a regular goddamn 12 o'clock game at right? home. No, like, let him play a regular game.
Right. Nobody give us fucking old Dick Stockton and whoever at the 12 o'clock game, which we're probably going to get in Tampa the following week.
Right.
The home game against Tampa. But finally, yeah.
Charles Davis or something. But yeah, give us that
right.
game.
Like, right. So, yeah, so obviously Cowboys 3-0. Now, granted, the Cowboys are 3-0 against three shitty teams.
Right.
You know, but, of course, all the Cowboy fans are, ugh.
They're
3-0,
yeah.
You know, not to say that, you know, they're not a good team, because they are, but they beat three shitty teams. They did beat us last year, but, again, I saw somebody tweet, you know, everything that went their way last year. All the interference.
They knocked Kamara out in the first quarter. And right. I don't remember all the other right. shit.
Yeah, they knocked Kamara out. Like two pass interferences they didn't call. A bunch of other shit.
Yeah, all the first down play that Cole Beasley had. Where he was all
yep, yep, that was one.
On
yep.
fourth down, yeah.
Yep, that was one. So they're coming in. You know, they beat Miami last week. Great. You know, Zeke and their back and Pollard both had 100 yards rushing. Dax looked good. Amari Cooper's looked good, but they're without Michael Gallup, which is big. You know, so Randall Cobb's going to be their number two. I want to say they lost a defensive lineman to injury before this week. So you know, of course, everybody's going to pick them, and I want to say like the Cowboys are favored by 3, which is insane. Granted, it's a backup here, but still, for the Saints to get 3 points at home. You know, it kind of screams to me. It's like, you know,
that's disrespect.
It's definitely disrespect. And look, we talked, you know, with Breeze out, like this is where Peyton, you know, this is where Peyton is proving his mettle. He is. And like you tweeted before, you know, some people like don't realize, like, yes, we have a different game plan every fucking game based on who the opponent is, based on the situation. It's not like, oh, yeah, here's our game plan the rest of the year. This is what we're going to do. This is us.
Right.
You know, this is what separates good coaching from bad coaching, and there was a lot of bad coaching in the NFL this week. I mean,
there was a lot of bad.
You know, coaching. Like look at Freddie Kitchens last night, Cleveland and the Rams. Like Cleveland should have easily won that game.
Well, and you third and 9, of course you're running draw. Fourth and 9, of course.
Well, even third and 10, you're running guys just straight down the field. It's like a Hail Mary in Madden. Like what the fuck right. You doing? You know that's what my 10-year-old nephew calls. You know. So it's going to be a big game, night game. Dome's going to be loud. A good thing about coming off a win against Seattle compared to, look, if we'd have lost this game, you know, the fans would have been like, okay, look, we'll bide our time until Breeze gets back. We're probably going to lose this game. Maybe you don't have as much excitement. But now coming off a win, I do think it energizes the crowd coming into the game.
And it's a pretty good matchup still, even with the backup quarterback. I mean – they like to run the ball. We stop the run, mostly. I mean, you know, we seem to like give up 1 yard, 1 yard, 1 yard, 47 yards, 1 yard, 1 yard, 1 yard.
But when you look at the average, it comes out to like, you know.
right. It just – so they want to run the ball. We're pretty good at stopping the run. And then on the other side of the ball, like, we don't have to worry about Drew getting frustrated by throwing 4 yard passes every down because Teddy's okay with that. That's been his whole career, was throwing 7 yard passes. And that's what he wants to do because their secondary is really, really good. Then just keep doing that. Just, mm-hmm. And he's not going to get frustrated because three 4 yard passes is still a first down. Like Kamara, be Kamara, slow the game down. Let's steal a win at home.
Yeah, and that's what Teddy said. He's like, look, Breeze told me. He's like, look, a completion is good no matter what. Even if it's a 4 yard completion, it's still a completion. You know, completions right. Completions are always good. So I do think there's a little bit of that. I also think, you know, getting all the emotions out of Teddy's last start out of the way is a big thing. Because I mean, look, he hadn't played in 3-4 years. It was and he talked about
plus
it.
Plus, he had to go back to the last game that he played that mattered. That also was a heartbreaking loss.
Yeah, to that team, to Seattle.
Right.
You know, in the playoffs. So you know, it was very emotional game for him. But to get over that and to have his, you know, to not make mistakes, to play well, to win the game. You know, that's going to increase his confidence. And to me, you know, that's a lot better than coming off, like, let's say, God, if he went 10 for 25 last week with 2 picks and we lost, like, yeah, we'd come into this week, like, you know, we're probably going to lose. But now that he's got that behind him, you know, I think he's going to get more comfortable. He's back playing at home in a good spot. And fans just need to fucking lighten up, man. Like, look, this is what we're going to be for the next 5 or 6 weeks, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, well, I'm going to say 3 or 4 weeks, but yeah.
Well, yeah, until the bye week.
Yeah, maybe.
But you know what? Like, considering, like, look, our team is talented enough to be able to do that and win games.
Yeah.
Hi, Cassie. Yeah. Oh, no. Hi, whoever. Hi, Cassie.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they are. They really are. They're good enough to win in other ways. Like, I mean, it's kind of like a pick your poison now, which is nuts to say that we have one wide receiver and we're good enough to win in multiple ways.
God, that is kind of crazy, especially considering, like, where's Jerry Cook? I'm waiting for him.
Man, he looks lost right now. He just lined up on the wrong side of the field. Like, Teddy threw the best pass that he threw yesterday was that dime.
Yeah, it was right where it needed to be.
And he just dropped. I mean, just straight dropped. Right on the hip.
It was like, you know, like he wasn't ready for it.
He didn't turn his eyes. Yeah, he never ordered his head. He didn't turn his
head. Yeah, he wasn't ready for it. You know,
by the time he did, it hit him in his hands, and his hands were just there out of habit. He wasn't ready to catch the ball.
No. I mean,
I want that guy to be good because I believe in him, and he's a really good guy. And, like, drops has never really been his problem. It's been lack of getting open. And he's getting open now, and all of a sudden drops are his problem. Just put it all together and go out there and be Jimmy Graham.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like you want him to be good, but also, like, we need him, you know, especially with our receiver core being what it is. We need him to step up and make plays.
Is Traquan still hurt? Is he going to play this week?
I don't know. They haven't come out. We'll find out. Wednesday is usually when
they get the first. His injury is undisclosed, huh?
Yeah. He got hurt in the Rams game. I mean, at least – well, he's not on IR, so I guess that's a good thing.
Yeah.
But
it's weird that he had an undisclosed – injury in the middle of a game.
Right. Very often. But then I saw also somebody tweeted today that that they're looking to get Deontay a couple more snaps on offense.
Oh.
You know?
That just screams Tommy Lee Lewis to me, and I don't like it.
It does, but yeah. But I mean, look, you get him a little quick, a quick and then let him, if he can do his thing and get 6 yards.
If he can do his thing, I'm all for it. Yeah, maybe like a jet sweep or something. Yeah.
Right. I mean, it is tough because just, you know, he's a rookie, and yes, he's clearly talented, but man, he had the muff. He had the muff this week.
The muff sucks. Don't get me wrong. You can't make it sound good, but it's just him taking his eyes off the ball.
Yeah, it is. And it's like he's going to learn as he gets more experience. He's going to learn. But clearly, like, the kid's talent. Like, I want him back on every kick return because he gives us a chance.
Right, and he already returned one in the game, and that was a good opportunity to return another one. He took his eyes off the ball. Yeah. So he looked at downfield trying to make a play because that was a very returnable punt. Very returnable punt that he dropped. Mm-hmm. So,
how much you want to put in the offense? You know, don't go crazy. But you know, again, the status of our receiving core just is like,
right.
So hopefully Traquan, you know, comes back because he did play okay the first couple weeks. So that's going to be a big thing. So
yeah, I mean the kid is. He's young, but he's trending all constantly in the right direction. He's he's better than Austin Carr.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah. Austin Carr is still amazing. He's like the Shanley of the offense. Austin Carr is still on the roster.
Yeah, how? Everybody, cut.
Right.
Practice squad, back to the team.
Everybody wants to get rid of him? Nope, can't do it. Can't do it. All right, so what is your score prediction?
It's going to be a closer one, like 21-17.
Okay. I will go.
What scares me the most about these people, though, is Dak's rollout. That's what scares me. I meant to bring that up a few minutes ago. But the bootleg, that's what scares me about the Cowboys.
Yeah, because there were a few plays with Russell where we blitzed, and there was no – like, I feel like at all times we need to leave a spy just to guard against it. And
yeah, let that be Kiko Alonso's position, spy Dak.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm gonna go even. This is gonna be a defensive affair. I'm gonna go 17-14.
What was the score last year? It was super low too, like 13-6 or something.
I think I want to say it was like maybe 13-10, 13-7, 13-6. Yeah, it was very low.
Yeah,
score.
I don't think we scored a touchdown. So I think.
Yeah, I'm gonna go 17-14. Super low scoring, but you know, after the win this week, I'm not gonna predict a loss. So I'm gonna go. I mean, fuck it. You know.
Yeah, we're gonna win. We need to shut them up. I'm so tired of Cowboys fans.
Yeah, and look, they're going to be out in fucking force in the dome, and I'm not they looking are. Forward to it.
They are. Yeah, lots of people sold their tickets last week.
Yeah. And look, I get it. You're going to make a shit ton of money, and you're going to pay for your season tickets, and great for you. But you know, fuck you. You know, that's the way. I know the listeners can't.
You better be in the seats.
You know, I know the listeners can't see it, but fuck you assholes that sold your tickets this week.
Yeah.
You know?
Get that big wooden middle finger you got and put it right there.
Yeah. Yeah. It's gonna be yeah. It's packed somewhere in a fucking box. Everything's in a fucking box. So, all right. So do you have any final thoughts?
Saints are going to be okay. Like you said, you know, 3-3 was our expectation. It's backup quarterback. That's what you want. We're going to be okay. 5-1. 5-1 Saints. And Drew's going to come back and just beat the brakes off the Falcons because they are a fucking train wreck.
The whole division is a train wreck, really. I mean, Tampa had that win, and their kicker missed a 30-something yarder.
Yeah, Tampa's going to fire their kicker. The Panthers are running a backup quarterback. The Cam might be out of his job. The Falcons are talking about firing their coach.
I mean, that's crazy.
Hey, who that?
I mean, that's crazy because even if we were at 4-4 when Breeze gets back, with the way the division's gone, at the worst, we're probably tied for the lead. But if we can go
years.
Yeah, right. But now if we can go 4-2 and God forbid, like if we win this week, fuck, all bets are off. Like if we're sitting here at 7-1 or 6-2 when Breeze gets back,
yeah,
you know, bye. We're getting a bye, baby. We're getting a bye.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, who's going to stop us? I mean, all the powerhouses suck. Like, the Eagles are in disarray. The Rams might be the number one seed. If not, they've already beat us.
The Rams, I mean, the Packers are 3-0. Their defense kind of looks good. But again, like, they haven't played good teams.
Yeah, I got no faith in the Packers until they show me otherwise.
You know? Yeah, I mean, that's – you know, it's I mean, it's not like we got the Chiefs or the Patriots in the NFC. You know, like, I mean, God, the Chiefs look fucking unstoppable. It's
yeah,
crazy, man.
Yeah, that Mahomes, man, that guy is good. That's
yeah.
He could have been our quarterback.
I know, right? Jesus. Wow.
Yeah. Andy Reid's good, but could you imagine Sean Payton with that guy? Holy crap.
Right. Well, I mean, here's the thing. As good as the Chiefs are, you know Andy Reid's going to find a way to screw it up in the playoffs. He always does.
Yeah, yeah. As long as there's a clock, he's going to find a way to fuck it up.
Yeah. Always. So, all right. So tonight was a good show. Thanks for coming on. Jeff will be out of town once again next week, enjoying the waves of Hawaii. But until then, God, I don't know his normal spiel. Just, you know, follow us on Twitter, Dome Patrol. It's Jeff working the account. You got Facebook. Our live stream will be back whenever Jeff comes back, which will be in 2 weeks. So all you people who like the live stream, you'll have to you won't get to see me for 2 weeks, which may be a good thing, you know. Trying to think of what else he normally says.
And
God,
if
I don't
you
know.
Don't need that, listen to him the old fashioned way at dumppatrolpodcast.com.
Oh, at .com. Look at that. Look at, see, and 648 for fucking life, motherfuckers.
For life, 648.
Forever. We even find 648ers in fucking Seattle.
That was nuts, seriously.
When I saw his face, I'm like, no, what?
Right.
And I haven't even talked to him yet. It's only been one game, but I come out on this side. He comes in on the other side. I know he was there, but now like we're on this side, and Blaine and Mezick are on the other side. We're kind of separated, but fuck, that was crazy. So anyway, pardon our random rants, but all right, Dome Patrol listeners, you will get to hear me again as host next week. So have fun with that. But until then, say bye bye, donkeys.
Who that? 4-2.
Bye-bye, Damon.
All America is talking about the who dats down yonder in New Orleans. Are you a who dat? Sing it loud and clear. I'm a who dat. We love to cheer for the Saints in New Orleans. So here we go. Saints go. Go, Saints go. Say